Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins. I'm the partner who heads up the abuse team at Hugh James, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to Hugh Cock, who's a clinical psychologist and is also the visiting professor in law and psychology at Birmingham City University. Welcome, Hugh.
Thank you very much.
Today, we're going to be discussing becoming more virus resilient. And this podcast, obviously, is being conducted in the context of coronavirus and how that has affected us in so many different ways. So, Hugh, why did you suggest to me that we ought to discuss in this podcast becoming more virus resilient?
Well, my experience before COVID landed was that lawyers, judges, barristers, expert witnesses, pre-COVID, had variable ways of being resilient, various ways of managing their well-being, that then, as COVID landed, really got tested by the change in our work location and our work style. And it seemed to be very important, talking to lawyers, that we all understood the way that we managed our resilience. For instance, before COVID, we would all have issues to do with how we managed the quality of our work, the way that we conducted interviews with clients, the way we managed cases and so on, and the importance of continuously improving what we do, trying to do a good job with everything we did, but without necessarily being a perfectionist. And also getting involved to an extent with clients in order that we could show that we were empathic and could provide support without getting over-involved in a way that disabled us. And it made me think, well, how can resilience help in some very practical way? And reviewing all the research and the practice in this area, both here and in the States and in Europe, it seemed that there was a sort of a six-factor approach that we all use in some ways, a little or a lot, to help manage our day-to-day well-being and our day-to-day performance. And the six factors, very, very briefly, that I looked at with many of my colleagues were thinking, positive thinking, managing our sort of physiological anxiety, organizing our tasks, communicating both effectively and with compassion, and number six, enjoying our work and making it effective. And alongside those six factors was a concept which in some ways is very simple, which was that of an active step. Most of us can say, oh yes, well, I know all about that, but not necessarily do anything with it. And it seemed very important that when we consider these factors and consider our own place on these dimensions, if you like, were we using steps that were very practical, very straightforward, and very simple that enabled us to become more positive in our thinking, more effective in managing our anxiety. And I'm going to give one example for the purposes of this short podcast, just one example of each of those factors, each of which we could do it. Alan could do it, I could do it, and any listener could do it. So, for instance, with positive thinking, to what extent do we monitor the words that we use when we think inside our head, or when we speak? In other words, do we use positive words? Oh yeah, that was a good podcast. Oh yes, I found that very helpful. I'm going to use that in my clinic today, or next time I phone a client, I'm going to use positive words to thank them for spending time, etc. In other words, the whole idea of positive language and positive thoughts. Question being, to what extent is your thinking and your speech today on the positive dimension? Could I increase that? Could I increase the number of times I say thank you to somebody for something that they've done?
Yes, I think if I can interrupt here, just listening to you saying that, you just think on a personal level, when someone actually says thank you to you, it makes all the difference. Is whether you're in the shop, you know, at the end of the transaction, or whether it's you thanking someone for a service, it's good for them and it's good for you. So, yeah, I get that one.
I mean, a very simple example I remember when I was doing some writing recently was a quote from Richard Branson, where instead of giving some very highfalutin idea of what positive resilience was, he said, just remember to thank people who open the door for you. That's a terribly simplistic example, but it's a good one. As you say, it does make you feel better if you either receive that or if you say it.
Exactly.
Secondly, the second factor, most of us get tense. Most of us gets anxious or stressed from time to time. And that often is displayed or experienced by physical tension. It's good to relax frequently, using the word relax, taking a deep breath, letting it go slowly, and for that few seconds, you feel a little bit better. That is something that you can do at any time of your working day, and the more you do it, and the more it becomes a sort of a natural habit, that can really help.
Yes, thinking about that, again, is something I personally experience. Those who are interested in yoga are taught about breathing, and there's a lot to learn from that, and taking a deep breath and using, you know, the oxygen, getting it into your body. Yes, it is so important and empowering, I think.
Yes, I'm interested, although I don't go to court very often. Whenever I go to court, one of the main factors I use as I stand up in the witness box with my glass of water is, okay, remember, Hugh, take a deep breath and relax before the barrister starts on you.
As if.
Okay, next one. Quickly, so I don't take up too much of everyone's time. The organising of tasks. This is something that is interestingly controversial, and I'll just be brief. I think it's a good idea when you have a busy working day to have a tidy desk. All you need on your desk, apart from your cup of coffee or whatever your drug is, all you need is the one job you are doing next. You do not need to look around your desk and see many of the jobs that you aren't getting done. So a tidy, organized desk. I don't know what your desk is like, Alan.
Yeah. Well, my colleagues, if they're listening, will be raising their eyebrows at this. And I always say, well, it's my colleagues who've made my desk untidy in the first place by giving me all the...
Yes. It's something to aim for. It's something to aim for. And the ability to do that next job efficiently, relatively timely way, I think, is predicted by having a relatively tidy environment to work in. Communication, again, a very simple one that almost links with the positive thinking, is the ability to let yourself smile and come across in a friendly way, whether you are in a face-to-face situation, a Zoom situation, or even a telephone situation. The one slightly daft strategy is people are taught to use the telephone a lot. When they pick up the telephone, make yourself smile, because you will immediately come across in a more friendly way.
That's interesting, because I was always, I think this is actually true from experience, if you are standing up taking a telephone conversation, taking a telephone call and having your conversation, it's sort of as a sort of subliminal message goes down the telephone line, so to speak, to the person at the other end of the phone, thinking, well, I've got to keep this to the point. But anyway.
Yes. Sometimes that's a good message to get across. Other times, obviously, you want to be more relaxed. Last two, to be very brief, again, with communication, to try and be kind and reassuring when you're talking to people. That means be aware of what the other person is feeling, thinking, without being gushing, it's okay to feel compassionate, kind approach to other people. Because other people have their interesting, difficult lives like we do.
Very good point. It's something that I learned and I try to remember. Sometimes it's very difficult to do, I confess, is actually try and place yourself in the position of that person that you're speaking to. You just don't know what kind of day they've had. You don't know what kind of experiences they're going through and so on. And trying to place yourself into their position is no bad thing. That's one thing I've learned over the years, and I constantly try and remind myself of. Yeah.
No, I agree. And lastly, just to round it off, when you have your working day ahead of you, whether it's in lockdown or eventually when we're allowed to escape, a very good strategy for having a good day is to predict a good day. In other words, when you wake up, when you get up, as soon as you start thinking about the working day ahead, have positive thoughts about the things that are going to be interesting, that you're going to look forward to, or that you're going to achieve. You have a number of small tasks, and generally start your working day with a positive perspective. That does help. All these things, 6 very small active steps, there are many, many more, and putting them together into a sort of a daily resilience plan is a very good starting point.
Thank you very much, Hugh. That all sounds extremely positive to me. And you take a lot of this for granted, but actually, no, I think it pays personally to try and remember those 6 key points, so to speak, that we should have in our daily lives. And I certainly try and make sure that I remember on a daily basis. So thank you very much, Hugh, and thank you very much, podcast listeners.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.